Hello and welcome to episode number 405 of the Rollo and Slappy Show. Today is April 15th, 2024. I am Rollo McFlugel and with me is my co-host Slappy Jones. Show notes page for this episode will be mcflugel.com/405. So Slappy and I just literally got done saying to each other, what do you want to talk about? And I had an idea and Slappy said, I don't really know anything about that. And I said, neither do I.
Buckle up, everyone.
So So it's no different than any other week.
Yeah.
But before we get into that, happy tax day, Slappy.
Oh, thank you.
Did you get your taxes done?
No, I filed an extension.
So did I. And this is actually a year that I believe I'm going to get owed, which is not great. Rather the opposite and delay having to, although you know what's funny is that they, when you file an extension, it says like, well, you still have to pay what you owe,
yeah,
on time,
but you're just like guessing.
I don't know. It's
yeah,
well, they, you make, I owed the last, I guess I owed the last 2 years and I've got a payment plan with them because of certain intentional strategic moves. But like they listed that as like when I filed the extension, I did it through TurboTax and they listed, you know, what I owed last year and they're like, all right, well make sure you pay this before taxes are due. And I'm like, yeah, no.
Weren't you just saying how wonderful the IRS was with their customer service last year.
Oh, yeah, of course. I really kind of think this is just like, it's just a humiliation ritual they make you go through.
Yeah. I don't even know the
point. It is just, it's weird because it's like, okay, well, and this is kind of the, everyone says this, but there's a reason why everyone says it because I think it's true. It's like we've got a very convoluted and confusing tax code. And at the end of the year, the IRS goes, okay, you have to figure out how much you owe us. And you say, okay, how do I do that? And they're like, well, here's this really confusing form and stuff to fill out. And you say, okay, so what happens when I do it? And they say, well, we'll then tell you how much you owe. And it's like, okay, well, why don't you just tell me what I owe up front? I was like, well, no. You have to figure that out. All right, what if I get it wrong? Well, you're a criminal. All right, what if I get it wrong in your favor? Well, I mean, whatever. You know, have you ever overpaid state taxes, Slappy?
No.
One year I somehow did. I don't know how.
It's a flat tax.
Yeah, but somehow.
No deductions.
Somehow I overpaid. I don't know what happened. Somehow I overpaid. Not by a lot. I don't know. And so I reached out to the state.
They said to like roll over to next year.
No, they just were. I was like, all right, I overpaid in taxes. Like, how do I get a refund? And they just went, we don't give refunds.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
Thank you for supporting our schools or whatever you support.
Right. So it's great. Like, if you underpay taxes,
which I apparently did.
Overpay taxes.
This is a local.
State taxes?
No, this is a local tax. So when I moved here, I don't know. I guess I missed like $200 worth of tax for local taxes. It's like school tax or whatever, property tax. I just thought I paid it. I don't know. They're saying I didn't, and I don't know how to prove. But I got a letter, I got certified mail, signed it. open it up and it's like 2021 local tax. I owe it's 200 and a little bit. And now I owe over 500 for fees and interest. And I have never got a phone call. I never got any mail saying I didn't pay. It just showed up at my door last week. And what am I going to do? I'm just going to pay it. I don't know what else to do. This was a couple years ago. It was like a failure to file, which I don't even know what that means. I filed my taxes every year. So anyway, I don't know. It's frustrating. I don't know. They, for all I know, they just made it up and they're just like, yeah, just send it to them.
Yeah, it's for that amount, it's just not even really worth it.
That's what I mean. What am I going to fight? I'd rather just go away. So I'm just going to pay it, and I don't want to pay it. It's going to annoy me that I'm paying it. But I have they're talking about garnishing my wages if I don't pay it by a certain date. I don't even know what that looks like. Were you going to notify my employer and then you're stealing my money out of my paycheck? I mean, I almost kind of want to do that so I don't have to write a check. They can just take it. But then I'm afraid it'll mess up and it'll take more.
Yeah. Goodness. The only thing more annoying that is Skype making it so that it's difficult to hear what you're saying, although I got the gist of it.
Yeah, well, so is this car horn that's beeping in the background. Could you hear that?
Nope.
It's good.
What was I going to say about stuff and taxes and that? Oh, that reminds me. There was one time I got a letter in the mail saying I was like delinquent on a parking ticket or something. And I was just like, what in the world? I never got a parking ticket. Not that I never got a parking ticket in Philly, but like whatever it's talking about, I didn't get. And I like filled out the form being like, I checked the box where it said like they made a mistake or something. And I'm like, you never gave me a parking ticket. I don't know what this is. And then like weeks or like a month or so later, like I found it under the back seat of my car. It's like, how in the world would this have gotten there?
Good question.
I would have, because normally they put it on your wiper blade. And I know I would have grabbed it and thrown it in. And I figured out, like, I kind of reasoned when they would have said they would have given it to me. And I don't think I had anyone with me that would have grabbed it before me and throw it in the car. Like, it doesn't make sense. I don't leave the windows down either in my car. I have no idea how it got there. It's weird. But anyway. On to what we said we were going to talk about that we don't know what's going on. You ready for World War III, Slappy?
No, I'm not. Did it start yet?
I don't know. I haven't been paying attention other than, like, if I didn't go on Twitter, I don't even know that I would have been aware that any of this was happening. This Iran, Israel thing.
So a friend of mine sent me a meme today, and it was a picture. It was like the it's not all that, but what's it called, Scarface laughing, and said like Lockheed exec calling Raytheon, and he said it today, so I'm guessing some big news today.
I don't know. I don't know. And the thing is, I don't really think it makes any sort of difference if I know air quotes, know exactly what's going on or don't have any clue like where I am right now. because me having knowledge about it, you know, specific knowledge, or at least what mainstream knowledge about it, whatever, you know, the media, whether it's good media or bad media, has to say about it, it doesn't really have any effect on anything, on what I can do about it, my life, whatever. It's just kind of happening. And well, the fact that everyone's calling it World War III makes me think that it's not going to be a lasting thing, which I hope is the case, because I don't like to see war anywhere. It's just, we know what the deal is. We've been libertarians, anarchists for long enough to understand, like you said about the meme, that it's just the military-industrial complex laughing their way to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just utterly disgusting and appalling to me. Without knowing anything about the conflict that's going on, I would probably venture to guess that the United States, or at least Western powers, are funding both sides of the conflict.
Okay. So that is what...
I think that's a safe bet.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure nobody attacked anyone without the blessing of the United States. Or whatever. Mm-hmm. Whoever's in charge. I don't think it's... I just don't believe any of it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's bombs getting dropped and missiles getting launched.
And people dying.
And innocent people. Yep. Mm-hmm.
But I don't believe that one country's mad at another one and they're going to go fight their war. I think it's all a game. And innocent people die because of it.
Yep. And I think we're, a lot of us, I mean, because like 10 years ago, you would say something like that and you would be told that you're an idiot, a crackpot, a conspiracy theorist. I think you say this to, go to the local bar in your town and post up next to anybody and give that opinion about the conflict. And I think at least half the time, the person you're talking to is going to go, yeah, you're probably right. They may not really like fully understand the implications of that, but.
Or care or agree, but if you were like, I'm part alien, you would get a similar reaction 10 years ago. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I people just accept that, you know, whether it's the United States government or some sort of Western power just is meddling and doing terrible things and, you know, is one of the main catalysts in these fights and these wars.
Mm-hmm.
But like they still happen with regularity. We still have the Ukraine Russia war going on. Even though everyone's kind of like, yeah, it's just a total farce as far as what's actually going on, and that it's just Ukraine is like a American Western power puppet. But it's all so obviously fake, and everybody knows it. And while I said a few minutes ago that I don't think it really matters what my knowledge or understanding of it is, and whether or not I know what's going on, I think what's important is that I think it's wrong and evil and terrible, and I don't want to have anything to do with it. And I think it's worth talking about and bringing this up because the way we positioned ourselves monetarily, putting our money where our mouths are with it.
Mm-hmm.
We all know, I mean, we've talked, if you understand kind of this, the game that the state plays and what the fiat system is. The fiat system is what allows these endless wars to be fought. And so that's because they're able to extract the value off the labor and the wealth of their subjects. And if you're holding their fiat, then they're able to, you know, inflate against that because you have no better alternative, so you're told. You're just holding dollars, holding their stocks and just maintaining, staying in the fiat system and just helping that machine turn.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, 2.5 years ago, we said, you know what, we're just kind of done with all this. And it may have not been a direct reason stopping, you know, participating in these wars by not holding the thing that allows them to extract value from us, but it was definitely part of it. And even and much more so right now, we can say, okay, that's going on, and I'm against it. And I mean, fortunately, I'm actually really minimally participating in it.
Yeah.
Not that like the average normie that doesn't understand the fiat system and doesn't really understand Bitcoin and why they should hold it. I don't necessarily implicate them. But for all the libertarians and the Bitcoiners out there that are talking about how they hate these wars and they're against them, and they talk about how the fiat system allows this to continue. I mean, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever you want to say, like, yeah, you were kind of stuck.
Yep.
But I don't think you are anymore. You know, we've been, like I said, we've been on zero fiat. Holding Bitcoin is our money for 2.5 years. Some people even longer than that. So if you're into Bitcoin, if you're anti-fiat, but you're still using it, and still using, you know, holding it to for a lot of the value of your wealth, or at least a decent chunk of it, but then you're railing against it and saying how evil it is and how it perpetuates this war machine, like, what are you doing? There's an alternative out there, and you don't have to participate anymore. So if you're identifying the problem, talking about how terrible the fiat system is and how it fuels the war, the military industrial complex, and you are actively choosing not to opt out of it, you know, it's not like your name's on, a Hellfire missile being fired at a drone in a hospital or something, but.
But maybe it is.
I mean, you're at least actively part. Well, I shouldn't say actively, but participating in the system.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a reasonable way to get out of a situation that may not be necessarily your fault that you're in, but there's a way to get out of it instead of being, quote, forced into doing something you don't like. You kind of have that moral obligation to take at least a little bit of risk and say, you know what, I'm out. It's like if you had a job, Slappy.
I do.
And, congrats. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. I'm a podcaster.
But if you had a job that, yes. Make lots and lots of money.
Mm-hmm.
Hawking podcasts. But if you had a job where they asked you to do stuff that you found like pretty morally unsavory, you know, if that job was the only way you're going to feed your family and otherwise they're going to starve. Okay. I can, you know, I think most people would have think it's reasonable for you to hold on to that job, because otherwise, you know, it's some pretty pretty terrible consequences for your family. But if you've got other job prospects, if you've got other opportunities, or you're like just wealthy enough that you don't need the job, I think you have some moral culpability for doing what you do. Because you've got, you know, like some reasonable options available to you. And even if you think there's some risk with it, or maybe you're not going to quite get as good of a job if you switch. You know, maybe you have to take a slight pay cut and you can't take as nice of a vacation every year to get out of this job that requires you to do things that you find morally unsavory or something. You know, at what point do you have to take responsibility?
Are you referring back to that girl we talked about? Was it last week or 2 weeks ago? Michael Knowles interviewed her.
She was
making a lot of money and she quit, as far as we know.
Yeah.
Different scenario.
No, I wasn't even thinking of that.
Different circumstances, but similar thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that's actually a really good example because it shows like kind of an extreme case of it where I think most people, at least in our circles, would be like, yeah, you should not be a pornographer. Like, end of story. You know, basically, it's better to just be broke.
Yeah, and according to her, no she prospects. Was making a lot of money, which I believe her.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's concerned about making money, but still gave it up. And Michael Knowles talked about that. He said, were you ever tempted to just keep going? Because you already have this stuff recorded and you could still make money. She said, yeah, but she had to take it all down. I don't know why she gets criticized so much, but.
I think it's jealousy and it just like that invalidates what certain grifters say about stuff.
Yeah.
Because that is a lot of the grift of this kind of reactionary right wing thing is it's this, oh, these women are just have this scar on their soul for life, which they actually do. That's what sin does to you. You have to pay for the consequences. Like, you have to pay for the consequences of what you do. And even though you can be forgiven, there's still consequences that you have to deal with. You know, if you stole a bunch of money from me, Slappy, and then you came clean and paid restitution and I forgave you, that would be great and good that we reconciled. But, I mean, you're still carrying the weight of doing that on you. It's not going to feel good. When you look back and think about it. So the longer, regardless of what your job is, regardless of, you know, any of that kind of stuff, the longer you do it, especially when you realize that you're doing something that you really shouldn't, the worse it's going to be down the road for you, even when you kind of finally make the change. And so obviously we're talking about, you know, renouncing fiat and going on a Bitcoin standard. It's goofy because I see it all over Twitter. All these Bitcoiners and, you know, libertarians that are correctly denouncing this war. Correctly denouncing the causes of it. But if you ask them to, okay, like, if this is all caused by fiat, why are you still holding it? And you'll get all the excuses in the book. So, like, I just kind of wonder what's it going to take for some people. And for those people that, and I don't know how you feel about this, Slappy, but like, especially like, it's all about libertarians. Not everyone's like kind of keyed into, you know, Bitcoin to be able to make that leap to get on zero and just use Bitcoin as your money. So I have a lot more patience and for those sorts of people. But for the people that talk about like Bitcoin all the time and how great it is and how much they hate fiat, it's like, all right, when are you gonna just make the move? Be done with it. The other thing too that's annoying is that, like, all these big libertarian names out there that correctly rail against the state and the fiat system and the Fed and the military industrial complex, but then they spend almost, you know, virtually no time talking about Bitcoin. Every once in a while they'll talk about it, pay some lip service, get the Bitcoiners to be happy that, you know, a big libertarian name had an episode about Bitcoin, but then it's just ignored. And then you gotta, if you listen to their shows, you gotta hear about their advertisers that are trying to sell you like gold, which is just, you know, not gonna pan out. So it's like, well, it's just frustrating. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah.
No, I agree.
Because if we had the libertarian voices out there taking Bitcoin more seriously, and not just using it as a once a month we'll kind of cover Bitcoin to get a bunch of those listeners to tune in and everything, if they actually took it seriously and applied it to all of the problems of the state that they talk about all the time, then I think we'd be a little bit further along. I'm not saying that we'd end wars right now, but you know, if we were couching this message of, hey, you know, the fiat system is responsible for these wars and the United States government is playing on both sides, and oh, by the way, it's caused by this fiat system, and here's a way, an alternative for you to opt out, I think we'd have a little bit more momentum.
Certainly. I mean,
and if this is a winner take all game, I mean, any momentum is in the right direction. It's going to be good. It's going to add value. It's going to help. So I don't know. I just ran it probably like 15 minutes right there.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have much to add. I mean, it's true that they're not talking about it. Not in a real sense, anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what their solution is. Voting, I guess.
I don't know.
Which, that's why I just think, I think our, I don't know, society is so far gone. It can't be saved with voting. Can't be saved with the monetary system we have.
Mm-mm. So I guess I would like present this challenge to people that if you're fed up with these wars and everything, and fiat system, the Fed, the U.S. government, and you're seeking alternatives. And like I said, you'd listen to this podcast, so you've heard us talk about for 2.5 years how to live on a Bitcoin standard, or at least that we and a lot of other people do. You know, ask yourself, look yourself in the mirror and say, okay, what's holding me back? Why haven't I taken the step towards it? And are the reasons I haven't worth the evil that I, you know, you even call it passively participating in, but it's still a participation? Yeah, I'm not asking you to you know, build a raft and shove yourself off into the middle of the, you know, Atlantic Ocean so that you're really not participating in it. You could do that. I think it'd be kind of unreasonable of an ask. But, and here's the thing too, bringing up sacrifice. We're not asking you to sacrifice. Part of the reason that we're on a Bitcoin standard and we got on zero fiat is because we think it's going to be way better for ourselves personally too. That Bitcoin is going to be a much better store of value than fiat, or, you know, the fiat store of value alternatives. It's going to become the global monetary asset. And so it's going to appreciate in value at a huge scale.
Yes.
So we're, yeah, that's the ask. It's like, hey, come join us. You know, jump off the fiat train and jump on the Bitcoin train so that you don't have to participate in this terrible, you know, bloodshed and loss of innocent life and just degrading society and making it way worse. And oh, by the way, your financial life will become way better. I mean,
it's a tough sell.
I think that's, yeah. I mean, when you have that kind of thing, it's the right thing to do for multiple reasons. Usually that means it's like the correct choice. It's like, why do you be nice to other people? One, because it's just like the right moral thing to do, but also your life will be improved over time if you treat other people well. It's the same kind of thing. You know, why do you exercise? Well, maybe, you know, it's a hobby, you enjoy it for the sake of doing it, but you're going to get healthier. And so your life's going to be better because you're healthier. Like pick any sort of virtuous thing or, you know, that kind of thing. And you do it because it's the moral thing to do. But also there's, you know, there's downstream positive results for it too, that you'll be able to take advantage of and gain benefits from. And Bitcoin's like no different than that. So that's about all I got. I'm tired. I want to go to bed.
You're out of steam.
Yep. One thing I want to say, I saw a video, unless you had something else to say about this.
No, I don't know. I saw a video. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was... I guess it was an AI thing where they put Arnold Schwarzenegger's face on Whitney Houston and his voice to I Want to Dance with Somebody.
Well, that's going to be interesting.
Incredible. Well, it was really good. And apparently I have screen share now on Skype. I wonder if that'll allow us to
share your screen,
play sounds and stuff. Yeah. Actually, let me try that. We'll do like live stuff. Slappy, can you see my screen?
Yes, I can.
Let's see if you can hear my screen too. Because you know what? This actually is perfect because I'm going to play the... see if you can hear, and the audience, the listeners, can hear this wonderful thing that I found. And if this is the kind of thing that, like, AI is capable of generating, people think about, like, all this, like, oh, this perhaps bad stuff that's going to come, and oh, they're going to have deep fakes and everything, but... If you think of, if they can do this well with this, then I'm just kind of wondering, like, imagine AI can very cheaply and quickly kind of like recreate every episode of Laverne and Shirley, but Laverne is Arnold Schwarzenegger and Shirley is Steve Buscemi. That, like, you can just replace actors.
It's really weird.
It is weird, but like, it might be pretty entertaining. You know, you see all these things with like voiceovers and everything. You just like pop from people and stuff. Okay, let's see if this works. Tell me if you can hear this.
No. Thankfully, no.
Can you hear it?
No.
Okay, hold on. I gotta.
Why would you replace Whitney Houston's voice with anyone's? She's got a great voice.
Right, but it's Arnold.
Oh. Good point.
Yeah, why wouldn't I? Can you hear me, Slappy?
I can hear you. I can't hear your video.
All right, let me try the video again.
I cannot hear your video.
This is important stuff.
Changing some things around there. You're going to make it work, huh?
Trying to. All right. Let me try. This is quality podcasting right now. I'm just trying to like test goofy stuff out. So
put it on your phone or something and put it up to the mic.
That's terrible.
Well, it's better than what you're doing.
Is it?
Audio. Well, probably not. I don't really care to hear it at all, to be honest with you. Gonna need
that's because you're
ear cleanse after this.
It still doesn't. Yeah, they don't allow it. That's stupid. We need to just... Well, one, Skype just has been terrible for us a lot over the past couple months.
Sure has been.
So, you know what? We're just going to have to save this for later.
Lucky me and lucky everyone else.
Although, I can... send it to you.
That's true.
Which I'm trying to do right now. I want a live Slappy reaction. Disgusting.
Wait, can you see my face?
No.
That's good. Good for everybody.
All right. I just sent you in the Skype chat.
All right, where'd my chat go? Messages. No, that's your messages.
There's a little chat thing on the bottom right hand corner of our call.
It's not hang on. There it is, chat. It was behind my little bar at the bottom of the screen, and it's nothing's in there. Oh, there it is. Never mind. It's ridiculous.
You playing it?
We'll be shortly. Do you think anyone is still listening to this at this point?
Everyone.
Okay.
I mean, basically.
Loading, spinning.
Wait, really? Is it taking that long for you to load a Twitter link? I don't think this is Skype's fault. I think this is a Slappy problem.
Yeah, maybe.
Are you like on like a internet via your telephone line or something?
Yeah.
Do you have to go through a modem?
Yes. It's not even playing. Probably because I'm on Skype.
What?
I don't know. I mean, it's playing. I see the video. There's no audio. I got the audio turned up. That's weird.
All right. Well, we'll have to cover this next week.
Yeah.
The people want to hear it. So, okay, that's all I got. Thanks for listening. We will catch you next week.
Later. Peace.
All right. Changing it up this week.
First time ever.
Yeah, it didn't sound right.
No, it didn't.
Never after do I that again.
It. After I said it, I was like, your video threw me off.
Dad, I don't want to hear excuses.